Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Marina, for the beautiful music and the song. Well, good morning. Not sure if the bell's ringing or not, but we're going to start. Whatever. Good morning. It's good to see you all. I know it's a brisk morning, and it's a little chilly in here, and the furnace is not coming on in this part of the building. So Ken has to do some more checking into this. We are hoping, praying that that didn't get fried. You know, we haven't used it probably since the lightning strike in May. So we'll see what we find out this week. But praise the Lord. Just dress a little warmer next Sunday just in case. We'll see what we find out. All right, just a few announcements. to go over before we go on with the service. Ladies, women of the church, you're having your fall meeting today. Be down in the Sunday school wing. I'm sure this is planning for soup kitchen in December and other things. So if you want to, after we're dismissed, then go through. We have coffee hour today after church as well in the social hall, so you can get your treats and go down to the meeting, and the rest of us will enjoy our treats in the social hall. The other thing, the 4 O's, ladies, that if you attend that, that was originally scheduled for Thursday. It's been moved to Tuesday this week at Roosters at 12 noon. So just make sure you're aware of that. Cherub Choir, that's our 3-year-olds through third graders. They will be singing on Sunday, October 30th. That is our Mission Fest Sunday as well. There's more information in the bulletin about Mission Fest. So I'll let you read those announcements and others as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we do love and worship and magnify you. For you are, Lord God, the Ancient of Days. And what a privilege it is that we have to gather here in this sanctuary in your presence, in your name, to worship you in spirit and in truth. So we've just sang our praises to you. The mountains bow down before you, and the seas roar at the sound of your name. And Father, we sing for joy at the work of your hands. The work of your hands in our own lives, in our community, in our surrounding region and state, and in our nation. Even though, Lord, your works are rarely broadcast on the news, we know that you are working mightily across this land by the power of your Spirit, and we praise you for it. And so, Father, we humble ourselves this day before your throne and under your mighty hand. And we ask you to fill this sanctuary with your glory and your power as we sing your praises and as you move among us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 225, Come Christians, Join to Sing. 225, if you want to stand together, we will sing this. Come, Christians, join to sing, Alleluia, Amen. Loud praise to Christ our King, Alleluia, Amen. Let all with heart and voice before His throne rejoice. Praise is His gracious choice. Alleluia, Amen. Come, lift your hearts on high. Alleluia, Amen. Let praises fill the sky. Alleluia, Amen. Is our guide and friend. To us He'll condescend. His love shall never end. Alleluia, Amen. Praise yet our Christ again. Alleluia, Amen. Life shall not end the strain. Alleluia, Amen. On heaven's blissful shore, His goodness will adore, singing forevermore. Alleluia. And amen. Take a moment, please. Greet those around you before you are seated. Glad you made it. Okay, we will have our sharing of joys and concerns, Mr. Stepanek. You're doing this today.
How we doing?
Good.
Good. Ann, you want to stand up? As we all know, the month of October is Pastor Appreciation Month, and we just have a card here and a few little items inside that might do you well. So don't spend it all in one place. But as we all know, we truly are blessed here to have Pastor Mike and Ann here with us, and we really appreciate all that you do for us, and even looking after the boiler. He texts me this morning, and he goes, "It's not working," and I'm like, "Really? This is not good." But they take care of this church from one end to the other. They're always here. They do so much for us, things that go unseen, and we really, really appreciate all you do. And we'd just like to say thank you, and we hope that this will continue to be your place of home for many years to come. And get to see our families together here. Going to be Grandma and Grandpa. Can't wait. I know you can't either. It's going to be great. But it's truly a blessing to have you here, and we appreciate all that you do. So many things that happen that go unseen, and we just truly appreciate what you guys do for this church. So.
Thank you.
And you're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks to all of you for all that you do in the life of this church to make everything happen that happens. Ken was talking about the boiler when that was installed, I don't know, 2-3 years ago, whatever it was. He spent the entire night here. A Saturday night trying to get that thing running for Sunday morning. I think I got up to go to the bathroom more that night than I ever do. I'd always look out the bathroom window of our bedroom. He's still there. 1 in the morning, 3 in the morning, he's still there. 5 in the morning, he's still there. So, and many of you do very similar things. God bless you all. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. We are blessed to be here. I don't have too much today, actually. A couple things. Diane Bent was able to come home from the hospital this last week and hopefully is still home. Good. Recovering. She had spent, I bet, close to 2 months probably in the hospital through her ordeal. So, others, anything else over on this side? Joys or concerns? Jennifer? Yeah, amen. Jennifer Herbolt saying thank you for all the cards and prayers and kindness extended to them through this last week. Her brother Jim passed in his sleep unexpectedly, and that service was Wednesday, wasn't it? Yeah, so, okay. Anybody else on this side? Okay, how about over here? We are a quiet bunch. Kenny and Ramona Bittner. Do you have a special day today? It's their anniversary. Well, I think, what, 56 years? Oh, happy anniversary. I just happened to notice that this morning. All right. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we worship and praise you and thank you for the blessing of the sunshine in this such a beautiful time of year that we enjoy. We enjoy just being together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for this church, Lord, that we have privilege to serve together, serve you, Lord, together here in this community and region and beyond in which we live. And to you be all the glory for all that you do through every one of us. by the power of your Spirit. We can do nothing, Father, without you. And just as Moses said at that time when he was leading the people of Israel, he said, Lord, if you do not go with us, if your presence does not go with us, then we're not going. Because what else can separate us from all the other people of the world other than you? And that is our prayer as well, Father. It's only you and your presence and your glory that distinguishes us and that draws people to you above all. So thank you, Father, for this congregation. We thank you for Diane Bent, that she was able to come home and is healing, praying that her strength is being renewed day by day, little by little. And for many others here, Lord, Larry Zabe and Marilee Houck and Kenny Winterstein and Bill Headley and Jan Nebelsek, these that are in treatments of cancer, and so many that we could mention, Lord. You know them all by name, and we lift them to you, thanking you for your power to work within their lives. For Kenny and Ramona Bittner, celebrating their 56th anniversary today, thank you for watching over them. Lord, we do pray for our nation always. We pray for our troops, asking for your protection upon them. We pray for our president and vice president, our congressmen and women, Lord, all those in national government and state government. And Father, we stand upon your word that says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and you turn it whithersoever way you will, even as you turn the rivers of water. So that is our prayer, and that is what we stand upon. We thank you, Father, as we draw near to elections. We ask for your will to be done. We ask for healing across this nation, that we would stand on the truth of your word always. Thank you for your incredible blessings. Thank you for the shower of rain that you brought last week. And we pray for the harvest, safety and protection in the busyness of this time of bringing it in. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before the offering time, we're going to receive some new members this morning. So if Brian and Amber Cross, if you want to come down, and Brian and Stephanie Melhoff, you can come down. The girls can come with you, Brian and Amber. And I just have to say a special hi back there to Pauline Brandt. I just noticed you. Good to see you, Pauline, and your daughter. Okay, yep, you can stand along here. Get my bulletin out of the way. So maybe, I don't know if everybody knows this group of people up here. A lot of you do, but Brian and Stephanie Melhoff, they live up northwest of Olivet towards Parkston. They have a Parkston address, and they are newlyweds. Was it April? Yep. What was the day?
April 2nd.
April 2nd, yes. So Brian drives truck and has hog confinement and farms a little bit too, just keeps pretty busy. And Stephanie is the Early Head Start Director for 12 counties in South Dakota. It's called the
Interlakes Community Action.
Interlakes Community Action. So that's a broad area that she oversees, and God bless you for that. And then Brian and Amber Cross, they're new to Menno a couple years back. I guess they came from Lincoln, Nebraska. And Brian has this business putting up grain bins and taking them down, I suppose. What's the name of it again?
Wardell Steel.
And Amber helps him in that as the bookkeeper, I'm assuming, and all of that. Yeah. We're blessed to have them in Menno. They actually live above the Simonson Plumbing Building. That's where their home is. And their two girls, Briley, who is a sixth grader in confirmation, and Callie, who is a second grader and just had a birthday, right? Yeah. Okay. All right. So I have the questions that I'm going to ask you. It says this: do you acknowledge and profess that you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If so, answer, we do. Do you promise to be Christ's disciples, to follow his word and his will for your lives, and to resist evil and oppression in the world through the power of the Holy Spirit? If so, answer, we do. Do you promise, according to the grace given you, to be a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ, celebrating his presence and furthering Christ's mission in all the world? If so, answer, we do. Do you promise to participate in the life and mission of this family of God's people, sharing regularly in the worship of God and enlisting in the work of this congregation as it serves this community and this world? If so, answer, we do. Amen. Let's have a prayer, please. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these two families standing here before us, Brian and Stephanie Melhoff, Brian and Amber Cross and their two daughters, excuse me, Briley and Callie. Father, we thank you for bringing them to us, drawing them here by your Spirit. We are blessed and we are excited to have them as they've been with us for actually quite a while now. And thank you for the gifts that you have put within them and their willingness to serve and their eagerness to be here in worship. And we pray that we can also be a blessing to them and help in their growth and their walk in Christ, that together we grow strong in you and in the power of your might, and together we walk in love one towards another. So we pray over them, the busyness of their lives, the work that they do. We ask that you give your angels charge over them to guard and keep them in all of their ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There is a response in your bulletins. If you would go there, it's on the back side of your bulletin. Let's read that. I'll read the first part. Let us, the members of Salem Reformed Church, express our welcome to Brian and Stephanie Melhoff and Brian and Amber Cross, and affirm our mutual ministry in Christ. We welcome you with amen. And so in the name of Jesus Christ and on behalf of Salem Reformed Church, we extend to you the hand of Christian love, welcoming you into the company of this local church. Welcome, and let's give them a welcome. And hopefully you'll have a time to visit with them at coffee hour afterwards. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Yep, God bless you. You can be seated. Yes, and the children can come. So if you...
Devin and Emily's second anniversary tomorrow.
Oh, the offering, that's right. And okay, Devin and Emily Melhoff, their second anniversary is tomorrow. Happy anniversary to you guys. That's their son. Thank you. See, I got out of order and then I skip. We'll do the offering real quick. Luke 6:38, it tells us, give and it will be given to you. I always think of this verse, especially in the fall of the year when we rake leaves and you know you pack them down and you pack them down. So the verse says, give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back unto you. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing the doxology, please. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. And amen. And Father, we do praise you with our lives, with our livelihood, with the first fruits of all of our increase, as you tell us, to bring them into your storehouse. And so we do, as we're going to see today, and we know that you love a cheerful giver. And we don't give grudgingly or out of necessity or by force, but we give willingly for the work of your kingdom to continue on and on and on. For the ages to come until you return, Lord Jesus, we proclaim that you are Lord of all, Lord of heaven and earth, and we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Father, we also confess our faith now together through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Now the children can come for the Kingdom Kids time.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Oh, good morning, boys and girls. Good morning. How are you all doing today? Come on and sit down. Come on up. Wow. There's so many of you. We are so blessed. Come on and sit down. Come on, Laura. Oh, Laura. Just, what? Oh, I think she has to go potty. Okay, sit down. Ready? Well, today we're going to talk about giving, like Pastor Mike said. And you know what? God has some really cool things he said about giving if we give. All right, let's listen to this. It's found in Malachi. Is that in the Old Testament or the New Testament? Old Testament. Good job. Malachi 3. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. This is what God's saying. Now, first, we're going to break this apart. I have an acrostic here. Tithe, T-I-T-H-E, and we're going to talk about each one of those things. So God says, bring all the tithes. So what's a tithe? Anybody know a tithe?
Offering.
Yeah, how much does a tithe represent in the Bible? 10%, okay? So do you guys ever get, you know, allowances or birthday money, or do you get money? Okay, so a tenth. So we're going to show you like this. So if you get $1, God is saying, you get 90 cents of this. You just give me how much?
$1.
One dime, a tenth. One dime is a tenth. So then, if you get $10, a tenth of this would be $1. And that's what he's saying. Bring this. Bring your tithe. Now, you all do that, don't you? You bring your offerings and you give them in music, right? When you're having music, yeah, you're doing that. So he says, bring all of these into the storehouses. Now, a storehouse is it's our church here. This is where we're to bring our tithes, where we get fed and where we give back and we give to other people too. The third one is T of tithe, test God. Listen to what he says here. Try me. He says, bring all your tithes into my house, that there may be food in my house. And try me now, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven. So God's saying, test me. Give me your offerings and your tithes and see what I'm going to do. See if I will bless you. And will he? Yes, because he said he will. He says that he's going to pour out so many blessings on us that we're not going to have enough room to carry them, to hold them all. When we tithe and when we give, right? Then it says, heavenly blessings is the H. God promises, like I just said, to open the windows of heaven, pour out of us. It's not always in the form of money. What are some ways that God blesses us? gives us health and peace and joy and families and friendships, all of these things, right? If we do what? Give him our tithe. And then at the end, E stands for the enemy is stopped. He says, and, okay, after you bring your tithes in, you give them to the church, you give them to God that way, see, I'm going to pour out my blessings on you, and not only that, I'm going to stop the enemy from bugging us and trying to stop what God has planned for us. Are those cool things that God has said? Yes. If we bring our tithes and offerings, if we are givers, God will do these things, okay? So you remember, when you put your money in there, it's just not for anything. You can talk to God. You can ask him to do these things, and he will. All right? Let's pray. Fold your hands. Close your eyes. God, we worship you and praise you. We love you so much. We're so grateful for all these children up here, Lord. And they are givers, Lord. They are being taught very young to give to you, to give to the church. And we thank you that you've told us when we do this, that you will pour out blessings. We thank you for that, and you will stop the enemy. And we thank you for that also. We ask you to bless these boys and girls wherever they go this week. Help them to be your light that shines in the darkness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Go get your papers. Get your papers.
Okay, thank you, Anne. We're going to sing number 217. 217 while the children are going back to their seats. Let's bow our heads once more, please. Thank you, Father, that as we are in your presence, this is holy ground, and we honor and reverence you as our Father. And these are holy hands. You've given us every part of our body as you compare our physical bodies to your body, the body of Christ, that we each have our part to play. And we do ask that you work through us, through our hands, through our feet, through our mouths. And everywhere we go, we yield to you. And you help us to do so by your Spirit. And so we ask that as we listen to your word today, that you would work in our hearts and minds and lives and enlighten us as to how we are to live for you in this world. And I ask, Father, that you would speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is where we're at this morning. I'm going to start in verse 6. in just a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. We're doing this series on verses where we find God is able. There's many of those phrases in Scripture. This is the fourth one today. First, we were in Jude, verses 24 and 25. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before the presence of his glory without fault. Secondly, we were in Hebrews 2:18. Because Jesus, he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help you or those who are being tempted. That was the second one. Last Sunday, we were in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. I am not ashamed. He knew the death sentence was upon him. He knew he was going to be put to death for his faith. And he's writing to Timothy, I'm not ashamed because I know whom I have believed in. And I am convinced that he is able, there it is again, he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him for that day. And what was that? That was his very life that he entrusted to him. And so today, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8 is the main verse, but we'll look through this passage. He says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. All right, so as we go into this, we have to look at the context there. If you're filling in your blanks, we got to look at the context. What was Paul writing to this Corinthian church at the time? So we see what he's saying and what he's saying to us. Well, the context is Paul's writing to this church at Corinth because they had made a pledge earlier. In an earlier visit of Paul's, they had made a pledge that they would take an offering to help the church in Jerusalem. Because the church in Jerusalem was undergoing terrible persecution. I mean, they were being put to death right and left for their faith in Jesus Christ. The Jewish people who had not become Christians, they were not wanting to cooperate with them in buying and selling. So they were living under extreme poverty. And that's what the context of these two chapters, 8 and 9, are. He's wanting them to follow through on that pledge of money that they had promised. And they were sort of dragging their feet. If you'd read through those two chapters later, chapter 8 and 9, he refers back in chapter 8, verse 3, to these churches in Macedonia, which were right nearby, Corinth. Those churches were very poor churches financially. And yet they gave, out of their poverty, they gave a very nice offering for those people in Jerusalem. Corinth, in contrast, was a wealthy church, and yet they were not wanting to give. Listen to this, chapter 8, verse 3. He says, for I testify that they, the churches in Macedonia, Berea, Philippi, Thessalonica, they gave as much as they were able to, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. They were like, wow, this is an honor to be able to help those persecuted Christians back there in Jerusalem. So he goes on in verse 7 of chapter 8. Now he's talking to the Corinthian people, excuse me. He said, but just as you excel in everything, all right, so he's complimenting that church on these things, in your faith, in your speech, your words, in your knowledge of God, and in your complete earnestness, and in your love for us. So he's complimenting them on all those areas. And then he says, but see to it that you also excel in this grace of giving. Giving is a grace. It is a gift. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit. Now, so before I go on further, just so you're thinking, okay, oh, so you're going to have a sermon on money, aren't you? Well, those of you who have been here for all these years, how many sermons have I had on money? Very few. Very few. Partly because it's hard for a pastor to preach on that. Because people think, oh, he's just after my money. Just after my money. I heard someone not so long ago tell me, I was trying to think who it was. I don't even remember, but I know the account. They said, well, this so-and-so, they don't go to church because they just think it's all a crock. It's just a way to get the people's money. Well, that is not what it's about at all, which I think we all know, and I hope that we will see as this goes on in these scriptures. Paul, in chapter 8 there, he's even telling them in this letter, he's saying, you know what, you guys, I am actually going to send my partner Titus to you to make sure that you follow through on this pledge to help the church in Jerusalem. So this was serious business. So right off the bat, what does he start with in verse 6 and 7 and back to chapter 9? He's going to use the example of a farmer. We all know that very well. We're in the heart of farmland right here. He says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously, bountifully, will also reap bountifully. Every man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. Not reluctantly, not under compulsion. There's nothing forceful about it. For God loves a cheerful giver. He loves a cheerful giver. You all know, hopefully in normal years, I better throw that in because this year, what I'm going to say next doesn't quite count, but that your harvest is directly in proportion to the seed sown in the spring, unless we have a drought year. Like now, or you get drowned out down in the bottom land. But generally, your harvest is in direct proportion to the seed sown. I was talking to the one of the guys from this church midway through this season, and of course, we knew we were well into the drought at that point. And he said, I did seed the population, is that the right term? A little lower than usual, just because I thought, maybe. But he said, you know, I always sow the seed to the maximum amount because of the principle of Scripture right here. And he quoted this verse to me. So we act that way in the natural, and God wants us to act that way spiritually with our lives. The world system will say, no, though, if you want to be blessed, and so this is not about a prosperity sermon either, a health and wealth gospel as things have been called. It is not about that. It's about God's word. But the world would say, if you want to really be blessed, then you just hoard everything, store it up, hide it away, invest it only for yourself. That's how you're going to get ahead. And God's way is the total opposite of that. Give and it will be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So Paul's using this analogy of the farmer as an example to motivate this church in Corinth in their giving. Well, what am I going to reap then? If I sow, what am I going to reap? Well, one, the main thing, God's love. You could say that because the verse says God loves a cheerful giver. Well, that's a great thing to reap. We know God's love is incredible. It is unconditional towards us. But it almost sounds in this verse that there is this extra step of his love poured out upon us. Second, what the harvest that you're going to reap is the same nature as the seed that is sown. If you're sowing wheat in the spring, you're not going to have a field of corn out there. What happened? Or if you sow soybeans, yeah, there might be some stalks poking up, we know, but overall, you're going to have soybeans. It's that simple. And he's saying it's that simple to this church. If you're sowing financially, then that is the blessing that's going to come. There's many ways to sow, our time, our talents, our work, all of those. But to this church, he's talking about finances with them. When we were with the Navajos, those early years with them, it was very hard for me to teach them on giving. You know why? Because they had so little. Most of them in our church live with no electricity, no running water. They just skimmed by. The vehicles most of the time were not working. And so I struggled with that a lot. And God dealt with my heart because my thinking was wrong. According to Scripture, and he told me many times, that's how I'm able to bless them more. If they get a hold of this principle that we are just stewards of all that God gives us, I've said, if God can get it through you, he'll get it to you, right? So I begin teaching them. You know, in those early years there, when I assisted the Navajo pastor first for a few years, and this is how small the offerings were. The deal was, what he got as the pastor was either $25 a Sunday or 40% of the offering, if that was bigger than 25 bucks. And this was a congregation of 50, 75 people. Most Sundays, $25 is what he got. Thankfully, he had a secular job, too. He worked for the Bureau of Indian Affairs. So, because you couldn't live on that. But as he and I, after he left, began to teach on this, and they'd step out in faith. One of the guys, some of you have heard this, I haven't said it for years, one of the guys from our church, he worked down at the trading post, husband, wife, four little kids, no electricity, no running water in their home, hauled their firewood. Vehicles, again, we picked them up many times for church because their vehicle didn't work. And finally he said, you know what, Pastor Mike, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take God at his word, and I'm going to start giving when I don't have anything to give. And I'm like, Jimmy, that's what God's word says. I knew they hardly had enough for food. You know, that's tough. So we'd get paid at the trading post midweek. If I'd come down there to get my mail and he'd see me, he'd come up to me. I just got paid. I'm giving you my offering for Sunday because if I keep it till then, it's going to be gone. I need new tires. I need this. I need that. And you know, they kept doing that, him and his wife. And it was wonderful to see God bless them in incredible ways, many times over. From the one, they wanted a generator, just to have a generator so bad to run some of the things in their hogan that they lived, the traditional hogan. One time my manager at the trading post came and he said, Mike, my wife and I want to bless a family in the community with a brand new generator. Do you got any idea who that might be? I said, oh, yes, I do. I have the perfect family. Don't tell him who it's from. I said, I won't. Wow, did we have a lot of tears that day when I got to take that brand new generator to them. What a huge blessing in their lives. So they stepped out in faith. So secondly, God is able. That's what we're looking at. He said God is able to make all grace abound. He's talking about the grace of giving, grace of supplying our needs. Verse 8, again, look how many times he says all in this verse as you're sitting there. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you get the point? There's four times right there. You will abound in every good work. He said to that church earlier, you've done all these things well, but I want you to start to excel in this grace of giving. Why does God want to bless us? This is very simple. Nothing complex here at all. It's not so we hoard it upon ourselves. It's so that we are able to bless others in incredible ways, to be a blessing to others. That's why, and you know, I hope you all know, it's fun to give. It really is. Whether it's in the local church here, whether it's just people that you know who have needs, whether it's other ministries, it is fun to give. As I say so many times, we're not just dropping money in a box as we do now, or as we, or in the plate as it would be passed. No. You got to think of that as I am sowing seed in God's kingdom. And Father, I thank you for the blessings that you've given me in so many ways that I'm able to do this. And I do it with joy. And what a privilege. I think of, it just comes to me, and hopefully Heckenleibel doesn't mind me saying this. This was some years back when we had a contemporary service, and he shared that night. And he came with how many envelopes? Do you remember? 10. And did they each have a 50 in them? I think so, unless it was more. Well, okay, I know I'm not trying to put you on the spot here. I didn't even ask if I could share it. But he said, he shared his testimony about things. He had 10 envelopes. Said, I'm going to give this to 10 people, and whatever's in it, I want you to take and give to someone else. And it was so cool. At that time was a big time when we were mentoring guys down at the Springfield prison as they were coming out of prison. And I had a guy in Sioux Falls. And I knew as soon as Lee gave me that envelope, that's what I was going to do with that. And that guy, he was able to get some clothes with that money. So it's a joy. So letter B, if you're filling in, don't eat your seed. Okay? Don't eat your seed. Look at verse 10. Now he who supplies, he, God, who supplies seed to the sower, that's us, and bread for the eater, he will also supply and increase the store of your seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich. Whoa, really? In every way, so you can buy more things. Oh no, that's not what the verse says there, is it? No, that's not what the verse says. You will be made rich in every way so you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Now, another example here on this. Don't eat your seed. This goes back, I'm not going to say the guy's name. He's in heaven now. His birthday would be coming up on October 18th, and if he were still on the planet, he'd be 101 years old, okay? So, I was talking to him about these verses one time, and he said, you know what, when I was a teenage boy, so we're going back, he was born in 1921, so in the Depression years, we picked corn by hand with a wagon. Some of you probably know, up in that age. Horse-drawn wagon, we picked it by hand. He said, on a good day, I could pick 100 bushels a day. Taking it off the stalk, throwing it in the wagon. But he said, you know what, my dad, as we were going along, if he saw any exceptional good ears of corn, he also had a box, a separate box on the side of that wagon, and that's where the best ears went, into that box. Because that was our seed for the next year. We'd take that, we'd husk it, we'd shell it, we'd put it up in the attic, safekeeping, where nothing could get to it. And that was our seed for the next year. That was how they lived. It's how some of you lived. You know it. You walked through it yourself. Don't eat your seed. They couldn't eat that seed no matter how desperate times got, because that had to be next year's crop. God alone is the one who supplies the seed. How? Well, most simply through our jobs. That's how he supplies the seed. And then through many other unexpected ways, he provides blessings. So we always keep that in mind. When a blessing comes, what am I going to give to the Lord out of this? If you learn to do it when you're young and you have not much of anything and you get in that pattern, it's just easy. Just easy. Even when we were with the Navajos, we lived on next to nothing too, right with them. I lived for 5 years without running water out there. But I always gave the first fruits to the Lord, no matter what, no matter what, no matter what. And God always provided. Was it with great abundance? No. But he provided. So the result? Expressions of thanks to God. As we give to the Lord, that's what happens. Verse 12. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. He's trying to tell them, do you know what this is going to do for those believers in Jerusalem? They are going to rejoice because they have nothing. They're just scraping by the bottom of the barrel. Because of this service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. It's a joy to give. As pastor, I've had opportunity many times where people will come to me, I want you to give this to so-and-so. I don't want them to know who it's from. You okay with doing that? I'm like, oh yeah, I love doing that. And whether it's straight from Ann and I, as we often do, or whether it's an anonymous gift from someone else that I'm taking to this person or this family, the tears of joy are awesome to see. So we're entering, really, in our nation and our culture into the season of giving with Thanksgiving and Christmas. There's lots of opportunities coming up. I was just thinking, wrote several down in my notes. We got the Bethany Food Pantry going on right now. Maybe you think, well, I don't know if I can give much to that. Well, maybe you got two cans of food. The disciples just had two loaves and five fish, and God multiplied it, didn't he? Operation Christmas Child, those boxes that go to other parts of the world where kids have nothing. The soup kitchen that the women of the church do, almost all of that goes to missions coming up in December. Our own mission fest, the end of this month, going to this prison ministry aftercare where there's a place these guys can go after they get out to try and help them to get on their feet and back into society. The Moore Committee right here in Menno, Thanksgiving Eve is that offering. Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, special offerings. So many, many times and opportunities to pray about. Last two verses, in their prayers for you, the Jerusalem church, as they receive this, and in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace that God has given you. And verse 15, I love this verse. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. That is Jesus. That's Jesus, the best gift of all. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this congregation. They are very generous in so many ways. And Lord, you see it and you know it. And Father, this is your word. That's why I'm preaching it. For you are able to make all grace abound so that, as you said in your word, in all situations, at all times, having all that we need, that we are able to abound towards others in every good work. Thank you for being our source and our provider as we trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, so we're going to sing that out of the praise book, number 120, which is 10,000 reasons, bless the Lord, O my soul, and how many reasons we have to praise him for his goodness. Wow, what a perfect song for today. Let's stand together as we sing this. 120 in the praise book. Like never before. much to thank you for your goodness in so many ways, your goodness and mercies that are new every morning. With all of our hearts, we praise you with all of our strength until that day when you take us home to be with yourself. And on that day, and on that day, when my strength is failing, the end draws near, and my time has gone. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forever. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his Father, we give our lives to you, spirit, soul, and body. With all that is within us, we present ourselves to you as living sacrifices. And forgive us for times we might grumble about this or that, when we forget about all the blessings that you pour out upon us each and every day. We say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord go with you. May he go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you his peace. Amen. We will sing as a prayer for our nation, God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, white with gold. Beside her and guide her through the night. night with the light from above, from the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Marina, for the music today. Ladies, if some of you are going to that meeting and want to scoot out to get your snack, you sure can.